Welcome to the Unstoppable Real Estate Agents Podcast. I'm your host and real estate productivity expert, Kim Hughes. Join me as we focus on real strategies and implement real solutions designed for you to achieve major success in your business and life while getting you organized. Hi, everybody. It's Kim Hughes, and today we're going to talk about the business of real estate. So my biggest question is, are you running your business as a business? Okay. So a lot of you may think you are, and you may be doing a great job at it and everything, but you can always improve. So this is a podcast where I thought it would be really interesting to just start talking about things that you need to think about in your business. Do you have this in place? If you don't, why not? And if you should, you know, this is my list of the things that I think are important for you to be successful in your business. And then what we're going to do is give you some pointers. We're going to give you a checklist, and we're going to give you a daily schedule, just like one sheet, and you can copy it as many times as you want. And so I hope you'll stick around, because I think this will be a really good one. We are in the new year, new month, new goals. And so I think that this might help you as you work on the goals for your new year and hopefully implement some of these. And let's see how we can get you to be running a business that runs so smoothly, it's ridiculous. Okay. So I'm working from my cheat sheet here. So just bear with me a few minutes. I'm working from the brain, but mostly from a cheat sheet. So when you are looking at your business as long-term, you know, you need to make sure that, say, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20, you know, whatever you can do to make sure that you have that long-term goal of what your business should look like. This can apply to new agents, seasoned agents. It doesn't matter. You can start at any time. And that's the beauty of being an entrepreneur or being your own boss, is that you can change your business model any way you want to make sure that it works for you and it works for the overall of the business. So, for example, I've been in business 23 years. I am now revamping some things in the business to make my systems more efficient, make them run more smoothly. And by doing that, I'm having to implement new programs or new software or something like that to help me achieve that goal of being more efficient in today's world of technology. Because what I did 23 years ago and what I did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 2 years ago is totally different than the way it should go today. So it's very interesting how that's not where you want to spend your time. But once you have done it and you finished it and you can move to the next thing, you just have this feeling of power, like, wow, I did that and it worked and it's going to be great. And I'm so glad I put 5 hours into that. So that's where I want you to kind of come from in the mindset of, you know, yeah, you may have had your business for several years. Everything is running fine. Why recreate the wheel? I'm not asking you to. I'm just asking you to tweak it to today's world, because we live in another world that, you know, buyers and sellers think differently. They're a little bit more educated than they used to be. You have more tools at your expense that you can implement into your business to make it run so much more smoothly and more efficiently. So when you are doing that, the first thing, if you have followed me for any time whatsoever, you know your CRM is the Bible of your business. And what I want to make sure that you know is that don't just throw names in there. Everybody gets they're either tagged, they're in a list, they're in a category, a contact type, whatever your CRM system calls that. And when you put them in there, you need to make sure you have all their information. So if you have Kim Hughes in my email, okay, that's great. But who am I? Who am I to you? And how did we meet? When is my birthday? You know, what is it am I looking to buy? Am I looking to sell in 6 months, 2 months, tomorrow, next year? So these are things that in your CRM, it's not just putting people in your database and going, getting all excited because, oh, I've got 5,000 people in my database. But you only may work with 10, right? And that's a great number because if you have 10 people that are buying or selling at one given time, you're doing pretty good. So think about who you're putting in your database, what information you have on that person, and stay on top of it. So birthdays are very important. If they buy or sell, their home anniversary, the whole 10 yards. I'm not going to go into detail because we've talked about that a few times, and I'm sure most agents know what I'm talking about. So make sure that you have all their pertinent information, address, phone number, kids, dogs, cats, what is it? So that when you pick up that phone or you run into them in a social setting, you know who they are and you can have a conversation of showing that you pay attention. Okay. If you've ever seen the movie, what is it? Erin Brockovich. It's a great movie. It's been around for years. You need to go watch it again because you will notice. And I just watched this the other day and I went, I did not know that. So, Erin Brockovich, who is played by Julia Roberts, is people don't look up to her. They don't expect a whole lot from her. She's been married a couple of times, has kids. This is back in the day. She had a little bit of a reputation, the whole 10 yards. But when she got this job working for this attorney, she found out that she was smarter than she thought she was. And she was able to retain information and she was able to remember it. So when somebody, who was a character in the movie was being kind of snooty and trying to put her in her place and put her down, asked her questions, and she was able to answer them all because she challenged her, then she earned their respect. But I thought, how amazing that she can retain all that information. That's not normal, So it made me kind of go, you know what? But you can retain a lot of that information. So if you're focused, and some people have a gift for it. I'm one of those that I'm constantly looking up stuff, and that's just who I am. I love people. I love talking to people. I'm a people person, but I may forget your name. And so, because I'm more into who you are than what your name is, it's kind of a quirky thing with me. But anyway, so just know that when you're working on this CRM, look at it to be, this is my information portal. This is where I'm going to go to put somebody in there that I want to work with, or look for somebody that's in there that maybe I have a house that fits their needs. Okay. So just make sure the CRM is updated and it's organized. Okay. And let me just say this, it doesn't have to be like everybody else's. It only has to work for you. So when you are setting up your CRM, make sure you know what you want out of it and not what somebody else is telling you you want out of it. Their advice is great, and you can sit and muddle on it and decide, okay, well, I like that, but it's not going to really work for me. But if I did this, this is the way my brain works. So getting all that information is great, but just don't feel like you have to duplicate it because somebody told you to. And then your days should be scheduled. So you've heard me talk about this before. I look at my calendar for the month and I will write everything in that's personal. Doctor's appointments, I'm going to go see my kids on this weekend. I'm going to do, girls' night out on this weekend. Oh, I'm having lunch an hour away with this friend. My husband and I are doing, couples group, dinner, things like that. Dog grooming, housekeepers coming, whatever that may be, put it all on your calendar. Paper calendar. I know that's old school, but if you put it on paper and then you put it into your phone, whatever calendar online you have. But I always say start out with paper and start out with a pencil so you can erase as you're working on this. It shouldn't take you 15 minutes at that each month. Okay, so you have that now. You have everything on your personal taken care of. Now you look at those times and think, okay, where do I work? If you're a single parent and you've got children that need your attention through activities, school, et cetera, your calendar is going to be a little bit busier. So you're going to have to get a little creative on how you do your business. So if you have kids in school from, say 8:30 to 3 o'clock, well, guess what? You have 9 to 2 now. And that's where you're going to put all your time and your energy in running your business. But you still need to map it out. What are you going to do with that time? Don't just put work. Put down what you're going to do. So I'm going to make phone calls. I'm going to send thank you cards. I'm going to go look at property. I'm going to go do an open house. Oh, I have a buyer I need to go show three houses to. Oh, I need to go on a listing presentation. You can set your own schedule and you can say no. If somebody calls you and says, hey, I need to talk to you about selling my house on Friday at 3 o'clock. Well, I pick up my kids at 3 o'clock, but I'm not telling them that. I'm just going to say, I am so sorry. I am already booked at that time, but I can come at 1 o'clock. Does that work for you? Or come earlier, you know, look at your day and see what you can give them in availability. And if that day does not work, it's okay to say, I'm not available today, but I can definitely come by tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And then what you can do is get somebody to help you with the personal stuff the next day. You have time to get that done. So just be a little creative in the way you structure your day and how you balance that work and that personal life, okay? So if you're one of these people that, oh, I love to run, I love to do yoga, I have my Bible time, whatever, you might have to get up a little early to do some of that or stay up later, you know? There is nothing wrong with that. When I was starting my business, I had three in school, heavily, heavily involved in school activities. My husband worked 5 days a week outside of town. So I was pretty much the only person doing it. And I had to be very strict with my time. I had to say a lot of no's to a lot of people, but that's just the way I wanted it. You know, I didn't have to say, I didn't say no because I didn't, it's because I didn't want to do it or I didn't have time to do it. And if I'd said no, then I tried to make it up later in some other way, you know, maybe a donation or I baked cupcakes or something like that, but I physically didn't have to be there. So I hope that helps you kind of think about that. The other thing is, what is your flow? You know, let's say you have a buyer and a seller right now under contract. What are you going to do in those contracts? What are you doing right now to get more contracts and help more people? So you've got to kind of have a system in place, you know, so those systems could be you're sending out marketing pieces every month, you're on social media, you're in the public, you're talking to people, you make sure that people know who you are. And one of the things that I heard a long time ago that I thought that is such a great idea is go into your local grocery store, stand in an area that is pretty populated, you know, and stand there for a few minutes and see if anybody walks by and says, hi, Joe, you know, how you doing? And if nobody stops and talks to you, that means nobody knows you. So you need to figure out ways to get people in the community to know you. Okay. I always tell agents, if you have an opportunity to market, market. If you have an opportunity to market where children are, do that because that's where the parents are, or the grandparents, the aunts and uncles, the neighbors, you know, all these people are showing up to where these kids are. So that's where you need to focus, you know, whatever that marketing would be. Then I want you to look at your digital pieces. You know, this would be listing presentation, relocation package, buyer package, pre-listing package. I know I'm missing some, but you get the idea. And then what about your email campaigns, your email funnels? You know, how do you do your newsletter? Get all of these organized and get them on a system and put it on your calendar. So if you say, I send out a monthly newsletter and I send it out on the 25th after the market stats have come out, put that on your calendar. Put it out that the newsletter goes out on the 25th, but you have to have time to prepare the newsletter. If you're doing it yourself, hopefully you're not. Hopefully your real estate virtual assistant's doing it, but you still need to collaborate together. So it's an ongoing thing, but you're not putting a lot of time or energy into it. Once you have that template and you know what your newsletter is going to be about, then she should be coming to you and saying, here's an article that I wrote, or this was a library, an article in my personal library that I wrote, or here's some tips and here's this. And, they're pulling it all together to send it to you to get your feedback and so they can send it out. So that's something. Make sure all of your marketing is up to date and in order. One thing that I found is because I preach this, I'm constantly looking at mine. And I noticed on one of my documents that I had something on there that is no longer relevant to my business. So we went in, we removed it all from all my presentations, and took me probably 30 minutes. Done, but it's up to date. Because when people come to you to list their property, they're looking at your marketing as well. What do you do to market yourself? Because if you do a good job doing that, then they're going to think, oh, well, look how good she's doing it. She can do mine. So you always want to make sure you're offering the best marketing for your own company so that the sellers can see how you market and be impressed by it. Some other things, your bookkeeping. Please make sure that's a number one priority. Every month, you sit down, you go through it, you've got it done, you don't have to think about it again. If you're not a numbers person like me, I do not like doing that. I would rather you stick needles in my eyeballs before I work on financials. My husband does it. He keeps it all together. He tells me what he needs from me. He gives me a report at the end of each month. We have a discussion, so I'm always in the know of what's going on. If you're not that person and you don't have somebody to help you, this is probably the most important part of your business, is hire somebody to help you. Like we have Megan on our team is a bookkeeper. She does other things besides bookkeeping, but she loves bookkeeping. And so she's going to be the person that's looking out for you. She's got your back. She's making sure that those charges that are coming through, they were yours. And if something shows up that's not yours, she's going to bring it to your attention. She's going to be your eyeballs on your financials, okay? Which that is a great peace of mind to have, okay? Or for me, it is. I just, when my husband said, let me take this over for you because you're terrible at it, I said, please, please take this. And I just dumped it in his lap and walked out of the room and said, don't want to know about it again until the end of the month. And then we sit down, we talk about where we are in our money personally and in the business side of it. The other things that you might want to think about is, what services do you offer your sellers? So when you're on a listing presentation and that seller says to you, well, my friend down the road had a realtor and she staged the house. Are you going to do that? So you need to be prepared to answer these questions. And then how do you answer that? You may say, yes, I do have a stager, and this is what we will do. This is how much money we will invest in having the stager come and, restage your home. They may have a beautiful home and not need staging, but they may want that confirmation from a stager. So you know what? Get your stager to come out there, walk through the house, tell them, hey, I would move this and move this, and hey, your house is gorgeous. You don't need to do anything. Then you might find a house that does need help. And that's where you and your stager need to really talk to the homeowner about staging the home. Okay. So, a photographer, your videographer, who are these people? And do you talk about these people during your listing presentation? They should be a part of your vendors list. They should be people you're talking about. So your sellers know that you have an arsenal behind you to sell their home. And once they know that and they know that you have that confidence in them, they're going to have that confidence in you. All right. Then, of course, the markets are different. Everybody's going to be in a different market. The markets are changing constantly. Be on top of it. If there's something in one of your presentation that talks about the market, make sure that it's current in what's going on in today's market. Of course, that's a given, but people forget, what's in their listing presentation. Just going back to what I just said about my own, I noticed something was on there. It was irrelevant. It wasn't even available anymore. So we had to remove it. So that's why I'm saying constantly be aware of what you are giving out to your to people. And you know, some of the things that we talk about that kind of goes to the wayside a little bit because you don't have the energy to do it, or the you don't probably want to put the energy into it, is making sure that you have very good systems. And I'm going to just talk about one system: funnels, email sequences, drip campaigns, whatever you call them. Make sure you have them and they speak to the receiver in the manner they should be talked to. In other words, give them the information. Give them everything they want to know, because the more information you can give them, the more confidence they're going to have in you. So make sure that you have all of this information available to them. You know, there was a time that years ago when I first started in my business, and I was the only real estate virtual assistant that had the background. And so other VAs were coming to me and saying, "Oh, I want you to teach me, you know, how to be a real estate virtual assistant." I got kind of weird about it, because I was like, "Well, if I teach you, then you could take my business. So now you're my competition." But then I started thinking about it and I thought, who else best to teach people how to be a real estate virtual assistant? Because I know what I'm doing. I know what agents need. I've been doing this for years and I'm good at it. So why not, if I'm going to have competition, why not have really good competition, right? So if you come to me and you're saying, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you about you helping me in my business, but hey, I'm also talking over here to, you know, Susie Q." And I would say, "Oh, you know what? I love that he's talking to her because I know her and I know that she can do the job, right?" So if he didn't choose me and he chose her, I knew that he was going to have a great experience and not be screwed, basically, at the end of the day, to where he's now got a bad taste in his mouth over virtual assistants and then he's talking about it. Okay, so we don't want that. So that's why I always say, you know, I'm thrilled when I have somebody come to me and ask me to coach them in, you know, running a real estate virtual assistant company, because when they do, I know I can teach them what I know, and then they can offer you the services, and you're going to get either one of us are going to be the best thing that ever happened to you. So just know that you look into that and you know the people that are coming to you and they represent you. And they have the same thought process that you do. Okay, so I could talk about this all day long, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a little checklist. So in the show notes below, there's going to be a checklist of things that you can look at in your business and decide, is that good for my business or not? Maybe I've mentioned haven't mentioned something that would be. And then I'm going to give you a daily accountability sheet, so that every day you can look at that and say, did I finish it? Did I do that? Why didn't I do that? Do I need to move it to tomorrow? You know, this way you can kind of get a streamline of how your day should go and how you can be really, really, really organized with your life and your business and your personal life. So you can map it all out and keep control of it and know that everything can be changed, but just go in with a plan and then tweak it as you go through the month, right? So just do that. All right. So if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. We're more than happy to help you. I mean, this is what we do, and we're really, really good at it. I mean, there was not a time I would say that about myself because I felt like I was kind of bragging. But you know what? My coach told me, she said, "Kim, you are good at what you do and you need to tell people." So if you have any questions, let me know. We'll be able to answer them. If we can't answer them, we'll find the answer for you. And let's see if we can't help you really get focused on running a business like a business. Have a great day. See you next week. Bye.